Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. Tom, as we heard yesterday with our UA climate scientist, yes, we had a wonderful summer rainy season, but guess what happened in October and November?
It forgot how to rain.
Yeah, we ran out of rain, and we had historically, I think Zach said on the show yesterday, Zach Guido, the driest October-November period ever in Tucson.
And one of the warmest Novembers.
And one of the warmest ever. So hopefully we'll actually get some precipitation. I just saw they were now saying maybe a half an inch for the Tucson area, but we'll certainly take it, right?
Tonight.
Yeah,
tonight. And to tomorrow morning.
Yep. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, the 9th of December, 2021, in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. 10:30, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. The call letters KVOI, The Voice. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we have a very extensive archive. Going back to the first week of January, 2011, when we launched our radio project, so there's a lot of contact and content on that site. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Once a quarter, we get our Tucson Air Service update from Dave Hatfield. Dave is with me in studio. He's Senior Director for Air Service Development for the Tucson Airport Authority. Dave, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people don't understand that the Tucson Airport Authority, yes, has Tucson International Airport, but you also have something else in the portfolio, another airport.
Yes, we do.
It's kind of under the radar screen.
Yes, Ryan Airfield out on the west side.
Which is very historic, actually.
It
goes back a long time.
In fact, it was interesting. I stumbled across trivia. I'm a trivia person. Ryan Aircraft over in San Diego actually built the first the Spirit of St. Louis that flew across. And it's on display in San Diego. There actually it's a replica that the company rebuilt.
Yeah.
But it was the same Ryan for whom Ryan Airfield is named.
I did not know that.
They were looking during World War II, they were looking to get a flight training school going.
Right.
And back then, the concern was they didn't want too much near the coasts. Uh-huh. They wanted things inland. Mm-hmm. And so he came out here, and it's something like 6 weeks' time, mm-hmm. he built the airport.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so that's where the Ryan comes from in Ryan Airfield.
Yes, indeed.
All right, a very busy time, and this is good news because many airports in the past 20, 21 months have been struggling because of the pandemic. I mean, TUS, Tucson, TIA took a hit, but not like other airports.
Right. We've been fortunate. The big hit still is affecting a lot of the coasts. And it's also affecting the business markets. We are not on the coast, and we are more of a leisure market, so we've been able to weather it a little bit better. The airports that are doing the best are in-sun destinations like Arizona, Florida, that sort of thing. And then during the summer, the near national parks, Jackson Hole, up
Glacier,
Yellowstone, all that sort of stuff. Those airports are doing well too. So we're still not back to where we were in 2000.
But close, right?
Yeah, we're less than we're about 10%. We think we'll finish the year right around the 10% below 2019, way up from last year.
Well, that's a very, very good sign. And just you had a very busy, so far, December's been off and doing well.
Well, the first part of December is a little on the slow side.
Thanksgiving
was huge. And in fact, knock on wood, we didn't have any delay. Well, very many delays. I think there were a couple. Of course, we're never the problem with a delay. It's always the weather somewhere mm-hmm. else that causes delays.
But downstream, as they say.
Exactly. But we did very well, and I think we had We exceeded, we thought we were going to have about 60,000 passengers go through, and it was more in the range of 65,000, and it went, everything went smoothly. It was terrific.
At the height of the pandemic, Dave, there was a whole sea of aircraft that were parked in southern Arizona. Are the airlines starting to put some of those aircraft back into service?
Yes. Some of them are going back into service. Some of them, the ones that aren't quite as fuel efficient as others, are probably still staying boxed up and not being flown. I mean, there's no need for 747s. They're not fuel efficient by today's standards and that sort of thing.
That was one of my favorite planes.
It was. Oh, man, it
was
a terrific plane.
And not just a 747, but my all-time favorite plane was the 747 SP, which stood for Special Performance Aircraft, right. And Pan Am flew them. And what a just looking at the aircraft, it's kind of this very, you think of a big 747. This was like a streamlined version.
Mm-hmm.
The upper deck had only, I think, about 12 seats. Mm-hmm. It was really, really a great plane.
The queen of the air.
There you go, the queen of the air. But, of course, now 747s are a lot of cargo planes.
They're still being used. It's the thing of the 747, it was a great big plane, but at the same time, it was a high-performance plane. I mean, mm-hmm. It's sort of like having just the best of all worlds. I mean, it could do things that no other plane can do, and it's just that by today's standards, all airlines care about is how much it costs them to fly a seat per mile.
Yep. And speaking of airfares, the price point, has it gone up quite a bit since a year ago?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. It's, I think, generally speaking, fares are, on average, back to where they were in 2019. In particular, many of the most popular destinations will be even higher priced. From Tucson, for instance, going east, all of our fares are substantially higher. California is still a little bit of a problem, mainly because there's not a lot of demand going over that direction yet. So those fares, I mean, I was looking at our nonstop to Oakland, and it's still down around $150, $160 each way.
On Southwest, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So California, and there's not a – unfortunately to California, there's not a lot of choice either, because we used to have 13 flights a day going between here and LAX, for instance, and now we've only got about six a day now. So it's about half what we used to have.
Bargain hunters can find a really good fare right now with our newcomer airline to Tucson International.
Oh, Avelo. Yes, yeah. Avelo Airlines. Yeah. This is a...
They really just kind of the last month or two, right?
Yes, it's...
Into our area.
It is. They are... This is a terrific opportunity. It's their business model was started by people who, in fact, their lead founder is ex of, he was a co-founder of Allegiant. He also worked for United for a period of time. He's involved with Copa down in Panama. They're providing flights from underserved markets. Mm-hmm. Usually very small markets, mm-hmm. to demand markets. I mean, back east, the big gold mine for them has been New Haven, Connecticut to Florida.
Yeah, I bet.
Here on the West Coast, they're doing Burbank, Hollywood, mm-hmm. Burbank, mm-hmm. To places like Eureka, Arcata, California.
Mm-hmm. Up in the Redwood, yes. The Redwood Empire, great area. They're also flying into an area that we went into in October. Forget the Bay Area, go into Santa Rosa.
Exactly.
And you don't have to worry about the hassles at SFO or San Jose. You can go right into Santa Rosa, but they're there as well.
Yes, and they're going to places like Eugene, Oregon, Pasco, Washington, which is Washington's wine country.
Yes.
And they basically borrow a little bit of the original Allegiant model where it's a basic ticket, then you figure out what else you want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And And I tell you, they're starting December 16th to fly
to my birthday.
Oh,
that's a week. That's a week from today.
I know.
A week from today, my birthday and a new airline begin service. You can't beat that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
The great thing about it, and in fact, I know that they were doing some advertising. They will, if you go in and put the promo code Fly Tucson mm-hmm. on their website, mm-hmm. they will take up to $20 off a round-trip ticket.
Which is pretty low anyway.
Well, as a matter of fact, now this doesn't qualify for that. They will still take a price off it. But in fact, the introductory fare right now is $29 each
$29?
Way.
$29? Yes. To Southern California.
Now, if you put in Fly Tucson, you won't fly to U.S.
You're not going to get, like, fly for $9.
No. It will reduce the price even off $29.
Yeah.
And it's they fly 737-800s. Mm-hmm. They right into Burbank. And if you are going to the L.A. area, Burbank Airport is a much more convenient airport. It's right next to all the studios. Mm-hmm. It's
very close to the world-famous Getty Museum. That's
yes.
worth a trip alone over there to go to the Getty mm-hmm. for $29 each way. Boy, you can't beat it. What does a Velo stand for? Did anybody ever reveal to you what was the name, why a Velo?
Oh, you're testing me.
A-V-E-L-O, a Velo. That, by the way, that's avelloair.com is their website
yes,
to
thank
get
you
into that.
That.
But who knows why they call it Avello.
They did tell me, and it's one of those things that went out of my head.
Well, maybe during the break you'll be able to remember it.
Thank
but
you.
Right now, Dave Hatfield, I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town. And you know what that bakery is. It's Mona's Danish Bakery.
Get your order in for your Christmas
yes.
kringle.
Thank you very much. Get the order in for the Danish kringle. And, you know, I also like the cousin, sister, brother, or whatever of the Danish kringle, the Danish coffee cake. And it comes in a wide variety of flavors. I brought in the Danish coffee cake to the station last Friday. Tom Fairbanks, my fine engineer producer, was one of those here who consumed. We cut it into about 16 pieces. And I would say, Tom, the pieces were gone within about 10 minutes. So it went fast. And the reason? It was delicious. Mona's, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. And as Dave Hatfield mentioned, now would be a great time to put in your orders for your Christmas table, dinner rolls, your pies. And I would suggest for Christmas morning or Christmas Eve, how about a Danish kringle to get things going? We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Once a quarter, we talk with Dave Hatfield. I could talk with probably Dave every day because I love airplanes, love travel, love air travel. Dave is the Senior Director for Air Service Development for the Tucson Airport Authority. Okay, Dave, Avelo Airlines, the newcomer to Tucson as of 1 week from today, December 16th. Why Avelo, A-V-E-L-O? Why do you think they named it that?
Well, I know you know the answer.
I do.
Even though I could not figure it out.
I do know. put kind of two words together.
Yes.
Spanish for bird, and then velo for fly.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
All
fast,
right.
Fast. Wasn't it fast?
Fast bird.
Fast bird.
Yeah, there
fast
you go.
Bird, yes.
Okay. How does it look for the winter season? I had Councilman Cunningham, Paul, was on the show. What was it, Wednesday? And I asked him about the gem show and how do our are we looking like attractions are, you know, going to be back up and running? He said yes. How do we look?
We look, we're coming back. We still are thinking we're going to be about 10% below where we were in 2019. Well, it would have been 2020, actually. This thing's been around so long. But which was the last year that the gem show was pretty much up to full speed. So it's looking like we'll be able to handle it. We are expecting it to be a little bit softer, but we think it'll be strong, and we're looking forward to it. The airlines are adding capacity, slowly but surely we're in pretty good shape.
We talked about Avelo coming on board, adding that alternative airport in the LA area. I love that. I like the idea of alternative airports because it's pretty darn obvious. I mean, you're going to cut down on your travel time once you get to your destination. I like the idea that Alaska last month added Payne Field in Everett, Washington, historic Payne Field, as
yes,
we talked about and articulated on your last visit to the show. They're now up and running. That flight is up,
yes,
right?
Yes, it's up and running. The plan was for it to work 7 days a week. It's unfortunately running 4 days a week, but that's mainly due to airlines are just being very careful. They don't want to see another repeat of the October meltdowns. As they bulk up in terms of hiring new people and stuff, they're being a little cautious on the schedules. But it is working pretty well, and it's a great alternative. want to go north of Seattle or want to come into the north side of Seattle. Mm-hmm. It's a great airport, and it's another situation where you'll be in and out of the airport. It's also a brand new terminal. I mean, it's a privately built terminal, and it looks more like a nice hotel lobby than it does an airport terminal. Well, they've pared it back a little bit due to COVID, unfortunately, but you can sit and have a drink service while you're sitting in the the waiting room.
Wow. But all the services are there as far as mainly some of the rental car operators?
Actually, the way they work the rental cars there is it's a shuttle. The shuttle companies use their own place. It's not right on the airport.
Okay. We're still working on new flights, of course. I hear this all the time. We talked about that. We asked my Facebook friends about where they want to fly out of mm-hmm. Tucson. And, of course, Mexico's always on the list. And there is a historic connection because Aeromexico had Tucson. It's one of their real,
right.
like a pioneer location in this country. So, I mean, we have history on the aviation sector with Mexico out of Tucson. We'd like to see that resume.
Mm-hmm. We do work on that as a high priority. The real challenge for us is to find just the right airport. Right now, there's a little bit of an embargo because you can't start any new flights between the United States and Mexico. But we think that'll be gone sometime next year, and we're still in communication with Mexican Airlines. We really want to get that back.
You know, Keith Rosenblum, who talks about Mexico on our show every month, mentioned something about Hermosillo. And to fly from Phoenix to Hermosillo, Keith was saying it's like $700.
It's outrageous.
And he was saying he thinks it's probably, in terms of miles covered, the most expensive airline route in North America. You would think that once the regulations between the United States and Mexico get back to normal, that Tucson would be a natural for Hermosillo.
It is. It has to be just the right situation.
Mm-hmm.
We had Aeromar here, and their fares were down to less than $100 each
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, per my comment about the fact we need to find just the right combination, not everybody wants to just go to Hermosillo, but Hermosillo is it's a good sized airport within mm-hmm. Mexico, mm-hmm. and they want to go on. And mm-hmm. the trouble is that flight went from Tucson to Hermosillo to, I believe, Mazatlan, or maybe for a while it was also going to Culiacan,
and
it was going.
Yeah.
And the problem was is so many people were booking the flight from Hermosillo to Culiacan,
uh-huh.
Hermosillo to La Paz or Mazatlan,
uh-huh.
whatever,
uh-huh.
That there was no room. If you bought a ticket from Tucson, it would show sold out.
Oh, weird.
And so we need to find, I tell you, my last the closest thing we got to a new service was an airline that was going to fly into Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
And all in all, it doesn't make a lot of sense because you would fly to Mexico City, then come back mm-hmm. to places like Guadalajara, Monterrey, wherever it was you wanted to go. And but the fact is Mexico City is a huge airport, and you can connect in anywhere in this hemisphere.
Sure, of course.
So it was going to work. Unfortunately, the politics of it just didn't work, and it never moved.
Well, you're sure working on Austin, Texas. I know that's one of your mm-hmm. biggies. More secondary service into California. That's a hot growth area.
It is.
Like Santa Rosa we talked about. These alternate airports, people don't want the hassle of like an LAX.
And it's actually working to our benefit in reverse. I mean, mm-hmm. people coming to Arizona don't want to go to Phoenix.
To Phoenix.
Yes.
Right.
So we need to connect more of those dots. And Hollywood Burbank's a good example. We'd like to get into Orange County Airport. We just got Oakland back. We'd like to see that one get some traction and grow. Sacramento. There are other markets that we'd like to see get flights into the West Coast.
We'd like Albuquerque back, too.
Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm. Had to bring that up, didn't
yes.
I? Because everybody loves Santa Fe, and, you know, I've done it myself. When Southwest used to fly Tucson-Albuquerque, it was a 45-minute flight. We'd rent a car, and we'd go to Santa Fe. And yeah. I'm not alone. A lot of people in Tucson want that.
I know you're not. It's the fact is we've done the research, and we think that about 70 people a day would take a flight between mm-hmm. here and Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. Now, for Southwest, that doesn't make them any money because that only fills up about half the plane.
Right. They've got to get at least 110 to 120 on an aircraft, right? Yeah.
So we need to find an airline that has about 70 seats a day.
Mm-hmm. Regional jet.
Yeah, to fly back and forth. And that's the challenge. We need to get an aircraft either here or to Albuquerque to make the other leg work. And we continue to work on it. It's just we haven't found the right match yet.
All right. What about the website, Dave Hatfield? You want to direct people to
Tucson.com.
And what will we find there on the website?
Well, if you haven't flown in a while, you'll get questions and answers about what's new and what's different, especially in light of COVID. We have information about all the new flights we've talked about and where you can get to. Today, Sun Country comes back for the first time this winter. So you'll hear a bunch of people with Minnesota accents, hopefully, tonight.
All right. Dave Hatfield, always a pleasure from Tucson International Airport. Dave, I want to wish you and everybody on your team out at TIA a happy holiday season. Thank you very much, Bill.
Thanks
a lot. We've got education coming up next. We'll talk about how the pandemic year has once again impacted the kids. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, we love Green Things, especially this time of year at 3384 East River Road. They're open daily over by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, and we especially love them because this is the place where you can get the poinsettias. Not just a few poinsettias, but they grew this year. How do they do that? 25,000 poinsettias in, it seems like every year, Jan and Jack, the owner, come up with some of these more very imaginative colors. So you want to stop by, get all of your holiday decorating done. And while you're there on their 13-acre site, take a look at Zocalo Village. It's five shops that they have, and it's part of the business, and beautiful things from Mexico and all over Latin America and Europe, and especially for the holidays. Some of these items that are handcrafted in Mexico for the holidays really, really are unique. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. It's great to welcome back to the show after a couple of months off, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the UA College of Education. Dr. Hendricks also is a former Arizona School Superintendent of the Year. He's the Vice Chair of the Interfaith Community Services, a Tucson-based organization comprised of over 120 faith communities dedicated to helping people in crisis. They provide assistance with food, housing, employment, and health care. Bob, great to see you.
Great to see you, too. It's good to be back, Bill.
Is the food service, before we talk about education, I know that during the pandemic, at the height of the pandemic, you just couldn't seem to feed enough people. There was so much demand.
There are definitely long lines, and I think what we're seeing is the result of empty shelves in the grocery stores, not as much food, particularly in the area of produce. I think that's an area that we always like to give as much as we can because it has nutritional value, and we're not getting as much of that right now. In terms of bread and pastries and things like that, that seems to have a pretty good flow. Mm-hmm. But it's some of the other things we really need that food.
But food necessity in this community, it's a problem. We don't have enough. We have so many people between the work you guys do at the food with the your operation, Interfaith Community Services and the Food Bank. There is so much need in this community.
There is. And the fact that families are coming in and there's never enough food for the month that they receive their allocation. And so we try to give them food that where if they do some planning, they can stretch those meals out more for multiple feedings rather than just a one-time thing, such as pasta and sauce and things like that, so that families are able to sustain a little bit more.
Let's talk education. And before we talk about a very difficult year for the kids, again, another pandemic year, the trend is, from what I'm seeing, state lawmakers generally want more say over what has traditionally been a local autonomous issue, and those are school boards.
For sure. And I've spent pretty much a career with school boards. I've studied school board governance. I teach about school board governance. So this is an area that I'm really keenly interested in. And, you know, school boards, by and large, have been historically nonpartisan.
Mm-hmm.
If you look across the country, with the exceptions of Pennsylvania, Louisiana, and Alabama, all school board candidates typically run you know, not with any affiliation to a political party. They're independents. And I've always said that school boards are really one of the last vestiges of grassroots government,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, most school boards around the country really are very, serve very small communities. And so it's rare that you don't know or know about a person in your community who serves in a school board. I mean, there are none of the bureaucratic trappings that go with other political offices.
They serve for free.
They're not paid, at least in the state of Arizona. Now, there are some states that do, for example, the state of Florida actually pays school board members, and they can actually get vested in the state retirement system.
Really?
But here in Arizona, there is nothing. I used to joke, the only thing a school board member gets is maybe a fruitcake at Christmas.
And now it's gotten to the point with so much contention that it's a difficult job.
It is a difficult job, and it's always been a difficult job, Bill, and it's always been a struggle trying to get people to run for that office. It's in Arizona, it's a 4-year commitment, and it's on a staggered term, and so you have people coming and going on the board each year based on that particular kind of practice or protocol, but it's unpaid, and therefore you have to really try to find people who are truly interested in improving educational system. And I can tell you that over the years, I've seen board members duke it out in a number of issues.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's some people who believe that it's political.
Mm-hmm.
It is political in terms of consensus building, mm-hmm. in terms of individual board members being able to express their views. But I don't think I've ever seen an issue where it's said that, well, this person voted because they were a Republican, or this person voted because they were a Democrat. I mean, I've seen issues over school safety, adoption of a sex education curriculum, gifted education, dress code regulations, privatizing lunchroom management, and even, you know, in TUSD, the ethnic studies issue. But it was all bipartisan in the sense that the focus was, let's try to resolve this problem. And quite honestly, the most important thing that a board member has to do when they come to the table to be effective is to offer the oversight over the entire school district. And then their other job is to make sure that their superintendent, the person who reports directly to them, is doing an effective job. So it's policy making, it's oversight, and it's making sure that the superintendent is doing his or her job effectively.
So are you worried about this state lawmaker, a state senator who wants to know where everyone stands ideologically and politically? That is the goal, as stated by this state senator, Republican Michelle Urgenta-Rita.
Bill, the last thing we need to do is pigeonhole board members in a particular ideology, because once that happens, my prediction is that then there becomes an expectation. If, for example, if they align themselves with a political party, that party is going to put pressure on them to act in a certain way. Right now, as an independent, it could be that you have a conservative board member, but doesn't necessarily act conservatively on all issues.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, someone who might be to lean to the left,
mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes there are universal decisions that have to be made in a school community that have nothing to do with political alignment. And so I think it would be a mistake. I think it would be counterproductive for us to not allow board members to to run independently. But I also have to say that this, you know, even though we have three states that are clearly that have gone in that direction, there are other states that are leaning that way. I mean, we are not alone in the state of Arizona with this call to try to change things in that nature.
And try to find out where a school board member stands politically.
Correct.
That seems to be the trend, is what you're saying.
But think about, you know, school board members in a community. They don't have personal assistance.
No.
They don't even have an office.
Mm-mm.
They have a home address.
Mm-hmm.
They have a home phone number.
Right.
They live in the neighborhood. These are folks who are giving of their time and their spirit towards making their school community better. And let's let them do that independently, and let's not try to put additional labels on them.
All right. We'll see how all of that goes. We'll take a break here. More with Dr. Robert Hendricks. Also, when we come back, a bill that's being talked about for the new legislative session would seek to punish school districts for ignoring state law. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Going to be a beautiful weekend over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Temperatures are going to be, let's see, around 60 degrees. Can't beat that over in Silver City. Great time to just put a sweater on, a light jacket, do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, just hanging out in Silver City. Some of those Victorian buildings over there are really cool. SouthwestNewMexico.org is the website. It's only a three-hour drive from Tucson. You will have a great time. On the website, they will list, of course, all the things to do and some great places to stay. Let's continue with our education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks. We're talking with Dr. Hendricks, who, of course, is the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. So believe me, he's had almost a lifetime of contact with school boards. And we're talking about this effort by one state lawmaker to designate taking school board members who are nonpartisan now and making them say whether they're a Democrat, Republican, or I guess independent. But anyway, kind of labeling them. There's also a bill aimed at school boards and school districts, Dr. Hendricks, that will punish the districts. And this goes back to COVID and districts that went against the state with certain mandates over masks.
It does. And, you know, it's interesting if you go back and look at any issues in the past where districts have flatly refused to do something or to violate state statute,
mm-hmm.
you cannot find examples. This is a single issue.
Mm-hmm.
This is about mask mandates, and it's really about a period of time prior to September 28th where districts felt they had the opportunity to exercise that mandate, knowing full well that there was going to be a legislative statute enacted during that date, unless, of course, it was reversed, which, in fact, it was reversed.
Over masks.
Over masks.
Yeah.
All about masks.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that I think the stimulus for this bill is simply to punish school districts, maybe for that action or for future actions. We don't know what those future actions could possibly be, because if we look at the past, there have not been these kinds of acts of civil disobedience.
This was like an anomaly issue then. It really had not, you know, you're saying that in the past, districts went along with what the state law was.
Correct.
So, yeah,
districts want to be compliant with the state law, but they found themselves in a very precarious situation with COVID. And I think it's unusual, and I think it's pretty hard to generalize the future about other violations that could possibly happen. Now, it's interesting what the consequences legislator wants. He wants to take 10% of what's called the classroom site funding as a penalty if a school district should violate, and if he's able to take it to the county or the state attorney, and the attorney rules in favor of that violation, that 10% of the money would be taken from that school district. Unfortunately, most of that money is going to come out of teacher salaries. So it's really, it's a non-starter for me, Bill. I don't understand that why anyone would want to do this. It just does not make sense.
It's Republican State Representative Steve Kaiser who is pushing this bill to punish schools that he says ignore state law. We're quickly running out of time. The current state of schools after reopening, here we've been another pandemic year, another tough year.
Well, I'm going to call it the lost years of assimilation, because basically what you're saying is that we've got students in classrooms now. In most schools, classrooms are open, but we've got three grade levels that I think are particularly problematic in terms of what teachers are telling me. And these are the students who really lost the assimilation, which takes place normally when you go through a period like first grade to second grade, seventh grade, sixth grade to seventh grade, eighth grade to ninth grade. Those years are really, really difficult because they're keyed with the student's social maturation, and students have lost that. So second graders right now never had that first grade experience. Eighth graders never had that seventh grade experience entering junior high. 10th graders never had that ninth grade experience. And Those are so huge. Everybody thinks back in their life in school. Those are so huge. And so we're not only looking at the academic loss, which is clearly in evidence, but we're looking at the social loss. And teachers are telling me that in those grades in particular, students are really having to discover what school is like. So if you're a seventh grader, eighth grader, never had that seventh grade experience, you're coming in as an older student for the first year as a junior high student, and it's difficult.
It is. Let's take a quick call. Matt, I need you to make the question very short, please.
Yeah, very quickly. I happened to see Margaret Atwood on one of the international shows, and she was describing, you know, dystopian, her books, and in some ways she was prophetic about things. Do you anticipate that we're going to be able to come out of COVID a better, stronger, more resilient American school system, or do you anticipate that we are in the brink of a dystopian future? Thank you.
That's a good question. I think we've learned a lot during this period of time that instructional delivery can be done and accomplished in a different way, and the students can still be successful. I do think that there's a learning curve that teachers had to experience with that. I don't think we're ever going to have the same traditional education system as we knew it before COVID. Where that's going to take us, if there's lessons that are really learned or not, I'm not sure. I do know that some teachers have had a real adjustment in coming back into the classroom with the kind of instructional delivery that they were used to. They're going to have to change. Technology has changed things. It's pushing us in a direction of the future, which hopefully is going to give students more flexibility. Hopefully we're going to move away from the Carnegie unit, which basically says that students are going to learn based on the amount of time that they sit in their seat.
Hmm.
It's going to have to change, and I think it's changing. And I think the next couple years are going to tell us if education really has learned from this experience, which is we all agree has been terrible. But maybe there's a silver lining as well.
But you said it's especially hard on certain grades.
It is, and it's the social maturation issue. But, you know, that's going to change as we get back into the cycle. But I think for those students who have lost that year of school, we don't really know what else they have lost. They've been done a disservice, but it's nothing that we had any control over. I think we're going to have to meet that challenge.
All right, Dr. Robert Hendricks, thank you very much, Bob. It's great to see you. I hope you and your lovely wife and family have a wonderful holiday season.
And the same to you, Bill.
Thank you very much. Dr. Robert Hendricks with us on behalf of Dr. Hendricks and Tom Fairbanks. Spinning the dials. No, they don't use dials anymore. There you go. On the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster. We've got Dave Ramsey. Always fun listening to Dave and his very popular show on money. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow, our Friday Focus interview with former Arizona Health Director Will Humble, the latest on Omicron and everything to do with COVID. Have a great day.